हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 29. Adhikarana 5, water is created. Apaha vikaranam. Okay, sutra reference 2310. Adhikarana Prakashita. Here in this Adhikarana, the sutrakar quotes Shrutis and declares fire is the origin of water. Right, because the important thing is they're saying Akash is not created, so they're trying to give it that eternal position. And then other aspects, you know, so certain ones in one list in one Upanishad doesn't mention all the five elements. It only mentions three. So then they're trying to take it that the two not mentioned are eternal, because those were created. Though in the same Upanishad, or other Upanishads later, it gives all of them. So you're just trying to establish that it is created. Right? Just didn't happen to be said there, but it is. Summary of Adhikarana, fine. Vishaya, the origin of water is fire. Shamshaya, the doubt. The fire, is fire really the origin of water or not? Purvapaksha, their presentation. In some places, the scriptures affirm that water is manifested from fire. And in other places, the scriptures do not agree with this idea. In this way, a doubt arises. So they, what they're saying does not agree, not that they're saying it's not. It just doesn't mention it on the list.
Yes.
Does that make sense? You know, so then they're taking it that that's agreeing with their philosophy. Siddhanta, the sutrakar addresses the doubt as follows. Sutra 2310, apa, water. Water comes from fire, for scriptures explicitly state this.
Really?
Yep. That's how it works. Like if someone comes in and they're hungry, they go, food. Do we have to get into all the different... Does that include salt? Does that include that it's cooked? Is that... Yeah. sutra prakashika. Huh? That's the meaning of sutra. It's condensed. Like that. It gets to the essence. That's why Mahatattva is also called sutra, because the essence is that tendency to enjoy. That wanting to control and enjoy the material energy. So that is the essence. So that's sutra. Right? Then the Mahatattva means it has all those elements, it has all the forms of those elements in all the 8,400,000 species in that. But what are all those forms and situations? They're all about enjoying. Right? That's the whole point. That's the principle. If you're in the material world, you're trying to enjoy the senses. That's the difficulty. So as soon as one gives up that tendency, it's like we said, it's not to specifically this or that. It means the first stage is we take whatever we're doing, we try to bring it into at least it's on the material platform considered proper. Right? We eat all kinds of crazy stuff. We reduce and we just eat things that scripture remembers. We eat at any time of the day or night. We reduce it down to, you know, particular times. You know, we're eating while we're cooking. No, we just, you know, cook and then after offer, then eat. You know, so that's the first thing. So we restrict the tendency to enjoy. And by that, then you can use your intelligence to then look at it further. Because until it's been restricted, you can't look at it. Because it's whatever you feel, it's just happening. So there's no intelligence used. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, because in the reasoning process, it means you can react to the information coming in through the senses without actually reasoning. Right? Because when you first compare what you've seen with what is in the memory. That memory is a experience. It's not just facts. It's the experience of that. Like, that's what you remember. Because if there's no experience, you don't remember it. You know, like math class. You know, guy goes through and explains this amazing thing, but it means nothing to you, so it's just sounds, you know, like that. So you don't remember, right? But in the same class, then somebody did something, you remember that, like that. Because it's experience that you remember. It's facts with experience. Facts on their own, you don't remember. Unless facts themselves are for you something very special. Right? Then you'll remember that because it gives an experience. Right? So the whole point is that experiencing coming up from the memory, at that point you could just react without using intelligence. So therefore, if the senses are uncontrolled, then the opportunity to apply the senses, you will. You won't consider. Right? Because here's an opportunity. It's a favorable opportunity for you by past experience, therefore you just take it. Because, sutra, the purpose of the whole material world is just to enjoy. That's our concept. Right? So by regulating, now you can start to see is, okay, I'm hungry now, but lunch is after 2 hours. You know, then you can start to contemplate it. Right? So that's the whole principle of this. But it has to come to the point eventually where the idea of sense gratification is not important. You're engaging the senses, but in Krishna's service. Therefore, it's more about preparing lunch for Krishna and offering it to Krishna. Then you'll take the prasad as part of the devotional process. So the senses are satisfied, but not as sense gratification, but as service. That's then what you're trying to make the difference here. Does that make sense? Right? So therefore, apa. Okay. Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar quotes Shastra to describe the origin of water. Sri Govinda Bhasya. Siddhanta. In this to this sutra should be added the previous sutra's phrase, ata tata hyata hyada. Water comes from it. Indeed, it is. Indeed, it said that. This means that water is manifested from fire. This is so because the Shruti Shastra declares it. Chandogya Upanishad 2.6.2.3 explains, Tad apo sirijata, fire created water. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.1 also explains, Agner apaha, from fire water was manifested. These two quotes are clear and need no elaborate explanation. Why water comes from fire is explained in the following words of Chandogya Upanishad. Quote, heat makes a person produce water. This is so when a person perspires or weeps. Right, so whether it's actually physical heat or emotional heat, it will create water. And it's just how things work. Right, air will creates fire. So therefore, movement is based on fire. Therefore, by the air moving in the body, then physically you want moves. Does that make sense? Yeah. Adhikarana 6. Earth is created, and the word anna in the Chandogya Upanishad means earth. Right? So then in Taittiriya also, then it's when it says aham anna maha, you know, I'm food, but it's also about what does food mean? Food means earth. Right?
So it's all about referring to the cause than the effect.
Sorry?
It's all about referring to the cause than the effect, because food is the effect and earth is the cause.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Because the effect is why the cause is why the effect acts as it does. Right? Without the nature of the cause, then the effect won't have its particular position. Prithvya Adhikaranam, Sutra reference 2.3.11, Adhikarna Prakashika. Here in this Adhikarna, the Sutrakar states that annam refers to earth using scriptural references. Food or grains hinted at by opponents is simply an effect of earth, which is the cause, thereby denoting oneness in earth and grains. So it means it's just like the nutrients that are in the body's made out of earth, you're taking care of that by earth. But if we just eat earth, that's not going to work for us. Means if you're really long and skin and flexible, no bones, and you have no eyes, and you go through the ground, it will work for you. But if you're not like that, then you have to eat earth, but in the form of food, yes. Right? The grains that comes from the earth, yes. Like that. That's the
Only Krishna can eat earth.
Huh?
Only Krishna can eat earth.
Yeah, Krishna eats earth. Okay. Since the topic of discussion is creation of elements, Anna means earth, and earth is created like other elements. Right? Because that's, now in other cases it might be referring to the effect or food.
Yes.
But in this case, because we're talking creation, we're talking the elements. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's not that, in the list of the creation of the Mahabhutas, you have the ether, then the air, then the air, it means then the fire, then the water, then the earth, and then a loaf of bread. Right? It's not like that. And then the problem comes up, is it stopped at that? Where's the butter? Right? You know, so like that. So that makes sense. Yeah. So in here, since it's listing elements, it means food means earth. Footnote 11. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur proves that the earth is the resting place for all other elements. Shaivadishtana rupini desha samaj nita. Matter provides a dwelling place for the conditioned souls. This place is called, quote, the three dimensions of material space. Right? So material space has three dimensions. Right? Does that make sense? So this whole idea there's more dimensions is not there. There's three dimensions in material space. When you add in the spiritual, then you have the fourth. Because that's the fourth dimension. And then when you add in prema, then that's the fifth. So then that's all the dimensions that there are. Does that make sense? You can have different aspects you look at and you want to call them dimensions, great. But there's actually only, you know, you have the directions and then up and down. Right?
Yes.
So you're not going to have, so if you want to take in between that, you know, in between forward and to the right, you know, in between that and then in between that, that way unlimited dimension. Yeah, you can do that.
Yes.
But technically that's called degrees. But, you know, you can call it whatever you like, you know, it makes you happy. But, you know what I'm saying? You sit in an office all day with a blackboard and a piece of chalk, you know, you need to do something. No? So then they can come up with whatever they like.
Now, Matt, what is this prema dimension?
Prema. Because spiritual means it's not material.
Yes.
So the whole, just the existence of things and the knowledge of that existence of those things, that's the spiritual platform.
Yes.
But then within that, to actually have affection for Krishna, that affection between Krishna and the living entity, that dynamic thing, that's then above that.
Okay.
Because the one is the situation.
Yes. Yes.
Does that make sense? It would be like saying that, okay, let's say we have the material room, right? And it has its dimensions.
Yes.
Then you can leave that material room and go to the next room, which is spiritual.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So then you have that spiritual place. But then within that you have the transcendental relationships.
Yes.
So that's the higher form of just being in that space. Right? Like we already said, the material, then the principle there is trying to enjoy.
Yes. Yes.
Right? But that doesn't do anything for the soul.
Mm-hmm.
It only affects the external.
Yes.
But the other one, then that actually is between the soul and the Lord.
Yes.
Right? Yes. So that's, yeah. So generally it's always just talked about the fourth dimension.
Yes.
Because that infers the fifth.
Okay.
Like that. But if you say the fourth, then that works for everybody who's interested in transcendentalism. Right? They're trying to get out of the material world.
Yes.
So either they're a jnani or a devotee, it refers to both.
Yes.
So that makes sense? Yeah.
Yes.
Matter, okay. An example of material space is given in these words of the Svetasvatara Upanishad 4:6-7. Samane vrikshe purusho Nimagno Nishaya Shochati Muhya Manaha. Although the two birds are on the same tree, the eating bird is fully engrossed with anxiety and moroseness as the enjoyer of the fruits of this tree. Right? Because that's the whole point, is that they're in this material space, but they're trying to enjoy. Right? That's the principle of the material world. And because of that, then they get their anxiety and moroseness. Right? If you're not trying for happiness in any situation, you're just sitting there, then you're okay. Right? Like that. It's not, you're not suffering, you're not, happy, you're okay. So that's the principle of the satisfaction. But as soon as you desire something, then the anxiety and the moroseness start. Right? If you're just sitting there in the park bench, you're fine. But as soon as you want to eat something, now the moroseness and anxiety start. Right? Because the anxiety, you want to eat, but the place to eat is on that other side, and that they closed at this side, so are they still open? And then you're trying to get there, and then all the obstacles that come up, because, just as you get there, the light turns red, and then you're stuck, and then like that, and then there's an old lady in front of you with the walker, and all these kind of things like that. So all the difficulty comes up. Does that make sense? So that's where, but if there's no desire, there's no moroseness. So in the material platform, they'll just try to get rid of material existence. So for those who are pessimistic, they'll think you just get rid of it. Right? Mm-hmm. And then when getting rid of it doesn't work, then you'll go to voidism. That says absolutely nothing. When that doesn't work, then you'll come back around to, going back to the sandwich shop, right? Like that. So you're going to go through these stages. Mm-hmm. So the idea is, and for the materialist, then they'll just make a new plan. Yes. Okay, well, this one's not there, but then they have another branch over on this, and they close at this, and so then you'll just adjust. Still doesn't mean that the anxiety and moroseness won't be there, but you have a plan, so therefore you're inspired.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like that. So the devotional is that it's seen in connection with Krishna. So therefore, doing something for Krishna, the obstacles are part of his service. So doing service, obstacles aren't a problem. Mm-hmm. They're only a problem when it's sense gratification. Mm-hmm. Because our happiness is gaining the sense gratification. But for the devotee, it's serving Krishna is the happiness. So therefore, whether there's an obstacle or not, you're still serving. So there is no difficulty for the devotee. Right? And if you find sometimes you experience that and sometimes you don't, that just means that the service is still mixed. So in some areas, then you can do it very nicely for Krishna. In other areas, then there's some attachment to the results. So, The quote-unquote tree here is the material dwelling place, the body, of the conditioned soul. Many philosophers assert that the element earth is the resting place of the other material elements. This is described in the following words of the Mundaka Upanishad 2.1.3. Ether, air, fire, and water, all these rest on the element earth. Right, so it being there, it's the last of them, and so everything else is then resting there. That's how it functions for us. In a previous mantra, Mundaka Upanishad 2.1.2, it is said, quote, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead is effulgent and transcendental. He is unborn. He is present everywhere in the material world. He is within and without everything. His form is not material. His life force is not material. His mind is not material. He is supremely glorious. He is greater than the immortal spirit souls." End quote. Right, so he is not situated on earth. Like that. So then we have to see, is that materially they situate here, but how do all those elements, how are they situated in what? Right? So that goes back to the Lord. Okay. In the Markandeya Purana it is said, "O material energy of the Lord, you are a resting place of the entire universe." Tattvasutta 3.26. So that means all these are there, all the manifest elements are resting on earth, but all that together is resting on the material energy. And the material energy is resting on the Lord. Right? So that way you can see the Lord in everything. Okay. Summary of Adhikarana 6. Vishaya. In the Chandogya Upanishad, it is said, "Water thought, I shall become many. I shall father many children. Then water created Anna." Shamshaya. Okay. Now, what is the meaning of the word anna here? Does it mean barley and other food, or does it mean earth? Right? So that's the doubt. So then their argument. In the Chandogya Upanishad is said, quote, therefore, whenever it rains, there is abundant anna. In this way, anna is produced by water, right? So they're taking it that the anna wants to become many, you know, the water wants to become many, and so then that's the variety of food, right? This passage seems, therefore, to support the idea that the word anna here means barley and other food. Siddhanta, the Sutrakar addresses the doubt as follows. Sutta 2.3.11. Pritiv yadikarana rupa shabdan tare bhyaha. Pritivi, earth, adikare, context, rupa, color, shabda, quotes from the Shruti Shastra, antare bhya, because of other. The word annam means earth because its color, its context, and other quotes from the Shruti Shastra all confirm that earth is the proper meaning. Right? So they're looking at it that way because it supports their philosophy. Right? So for them, they want to show that it means the food. Because then that way, then water is creating everything. Right? But we've shown that water is created by fire, and that earth is what's meant by there. It's that something else is created. So it's just a matter, it's a chain. Because if there's no chain, then it looks like water is the end. Right? But if there's a chain, then just as earth is produced from water, water is from fire, fire is from air, air is from ether, ether is from, you know, the false, it just goes back. So they want to show that it's not a chain. There's just certain ones are created and certain ones are creating. So, yeah. Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar refutes the opponents analyzing the aspects mentioned in the Shastras, and thus establishing that anna means earth, since the theme of discussion is primarily the origin of gross elements. Because right? That's what's being discussed. You don't bring up something else. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like how you say it. Yeah, it's funny. Just how, you know, the things that you remember come up. And so then the example of that, you change the context. So it comes up as a phrase, how you say, that someone is remembering Tutu because she had a swimming pool. Whether anyone knows that context or not, that's another thing. So they're talking about a person, not about the dress of, you know, for ballet. Does that make sense? But if they're into, let's say, you know, dance or performance, then they'll try to show that it means this, because then it supports their point. Yes. When it actually means a person.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Does that make sense? Yeah, so all it is that things, you have to know the context. The context is describing the manifestation of the five elements. So why would you then take off into food unless, you know, it's been a while and you're hungry? Then naturally, you know, you're going to think of food. Right? Okay. Sri Govindabhasya. Siddhanta. Anna means earth, not grains. Why? Because the topic being discussed, adhikara, is the origin of the gross elements, of which earth is one, whereas grains are not an element. It is also so because the quote-unquote anna here is described as being black in color, rupa. In the words, yat krishna tadanasya, that anna is black in color. It is also so because in other scriptures, shastran tare bhya, it is said, Taittiriya Upanishad, abhya prithivi, from water earth is manifested. The statement concerning grains arising from water indicates there is oneness between the cause, earth, and its effect, grains. So the point is, earth is being produced, because from the water you're not getting the grains anyway. So it's meaning the earth.
Yes.
Then water with the earth, then you may get the grains. Right? But straight from the water you're not going to get the grains. Even if you're into hydroponics, that you have to put earth elements into the water to get things to grow. If you take straight distilled water and try to grow things on it, probably won't happen. You know, you have to have earth in it. So that means there the grains are coming from the earth. So the earth is coming from the water. Bhagavatam verse reference. Comment to Adikarnas 4 through 6. 2, 5, 26 to 29. Because the sky is transformed, the air is generated with the quality of touch. And by previous succession, the air is also full of sound and the basic principles of duration of life. Right, because they're life airs. Sense perception, mental power, and bodily strength. So all those are coming from the airs. The airs are moving, you can perceive. Mental power is there, the bodily strength. Right? If you don't get air properly, you don't breathe, then these things go down. When the air is transformed in the course of time and nature's course, fire is generated, taking shape with a sense of touch and sound. Since fire is also transformed, there is a manifestation of water, full of juice and tasty. As previously, it also has form and touch and is full of sound. And water, being transformed from all variegatedness on earth, appears odorous and, as previously, becomes qualitatively full of juice, touch, sound, and form, respectively. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just showing how it's progressing. So along with the elements themselves, you get then the sense that comes with it, and we'll also, as didn't mention here, but you'll also get, that means you'll get the sense, yeah, you get the sense object, you'll get the sense itself. So from that, you'll also get the ear, the eye, the nose, the skin like this. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:18-27-28. My dear Vidura, chief of the Kurus, in this way, King Prutu and all the others who subsist on food created different types of calves and milked out their respective eatables. Thus they received their various foodstuffs, which were symbolized as milk. Thereafter, King Prita was very satisfied with the planet Earth, for she sufficiently supplied all food to various living entities. Thus he developed an affection for the planet Earth, just as if she were his own daughter. Right? So there's Earth, and then from that they're getting their food. But they're getting the food from the Earth.
Yes.
Right, not from the water.
Yes, yes.
The Sutakar indicates, Adikarna 7, reasons why Brahman alone is the source of the Pancha Mahabhuta. Okay, Adikarna 7. The elements are manifested from the Lord. Tad Abhi Dhyana Dikaranam. Sutra reference 2:3, 12-14. Sutra Prakashika. Here in this Adikarna, the Sutrakar refutes the Shankyais who insist that the sequence of elements manifesting the creation imply that one element is the cause of the other. With evidences, it was verified earlier in Vedanta Sutra 1:1-2, Sanmadyasyayataha, and Vedanta Sutra 2:2-1, Rachanam Upapattes Cha Nu Manam. That the Lord is the material cause, and the process of creation does not start without a conscious agent, efficient cause. In order for the cause, matter, to transform into an effect, matter, the inference of a conscious being is undeniably a necessary condition. Right? So, like we're talking about causes, but then with the efficient cause means that's the conscious element. Right? Because cause means you have one turning into the other. You know, just like the pot is coming from the earth. And so you can say cause and effect there. So, but the point is what's the efficient cause is the consciousness that went into it that changed the clay into a pot. Right? Because it's not going to happen on its own. You know, we're not talking nutcracker sweet here. You know, we're talking that it is going to change because of a conscious entity.
So we need a person.
You need a person. Right. So that's the whole thing, because anytime we even want to do something and make it practical, you still have to have consciousness.
Yes.
Right? That's the whole point. So then yeah. So matter must be infused with consciousness. How that's going to happen? Either the Lord or the living entity, the soul. It's not going to happen on its own. Is that So that's the difference between the, you know, the efficient cause. And then you have the immediate and the remote means, then you have the remote means the ultimate, and then you have the immediate means what's the obvious one. Right? So all these different terms are used in connection with cause and effect. Right? So whether you're looking at, you know, what's happening mechanically now, and then ultimately it goes back to Krishna, you know, or if you're looking at the aspect of consciousness has to be there. Yeah. Only because of his desire and his shaktis, the gross elements manifest in succession. He enters within the elements, awakens their latent power, and stimulates their functionality. Right? Because actually it's every time is he's entering. Because it can't change without time, because time means movement. Right? So that means that that still is there. Then it moves. It's not that it actually directly comes from the element. So water is not directly coming from fire. That through further application of time and false ego, then you're going to, you know, by the Lord's glance, then you're going to, then that agitation will transform it. It's not transforming on its own. Right? Just like Badan doesn't transform on its own. It's only when the Lord glances, then it transforms. Okay. This was previously proven by the Sutrakar in Vedanta Sutra 1.4.24. Abhidya upadesach cha. Vedanta Sutra 1.4.26. Atma krite parinamat. Oh, and, yeah. That Brahman is both the efficient and material cause because of teachings about his desire to become many. Hence, Brahman is possessing the Shaktis such as Jiva and Prakriti. He is the material cause having a gross nature. Thus it is deduced that all the elements are non-different owing to the Lord's presence and take birth in him alone. Because they need a support. If something's going to manifest, it has to have a support. Does that make sense? Yeah. Footnote 12. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur proves that the Lord is the cause for all for the manifestation of all elements. Okay, Vajranath, what does Pradhan do? Babaji, in the beginning, the Supreme Lord employs time to agitate the material energy. In this way, the Mahatattva is produced. Agitated in this way, Maya's feature called Pradhan, quote-unquote, creates things. From the Mahatattva, the false ego is manifested, right? So that's the false ego means, in the modes of nature, the three kinds of false ego. False ego is already there before that, means the concept to control and enjoy, right? Because if Mahatattva is called Sutra, that means already the tendency to control and enjoy is there. Then you have to have to take part in all those various options that Mahatattva has, then you have to have the three kinds of false ego to be able to take part in it. Right? So therefore, then ignorance, then is the body, then the passion, then is the desires and that, and then goodness are the sense of duty and these kind of aspects. So depending upon which kind of ego you have, then you situate yourself. Like, let's say somebody does something nice for someone, right? Because their ego in the mode of goodness, they feel good. Mm-hmm. Right? They feel satisfied. Mm-hmm. Right? But someone in the mode of passion, having done that nice thing for that person, they're not satisfied. They're waiting for everyone to notice that they did that and praise them for doing that. Then that's their satisfaction. Does that make sense? And then the other one, because of the mode of ignorance, they're helping that person, but they actually don't want to help that person. It's only because the government's given them 100 hours of social service that they're doing that, so therefore they wish they weren't doing it because of their identity. Does that make sense? So you get all these three kinds of ego, then you can try to have an identity by which you can situate yourself to enjoy the material energy. Does that make sense? So that's the difference between that false ego that's in the glance and the false ego that now is manifested after Mahatattva. Mm-hmm. right? Does that make sense? Because this means now you have an actual practical identity. Before, it's a generic identity. I'm the controller and enjoyer. The controller of what? Enjoyer of what? So that's then this false ego. It makes it specific. So... Yeah. From the Mahatattva, the false ego is manifested. When false ego is transformed by ignorance, the sky is manifested. From the sky, air is manifested. From air, fire is manifested. From fire, water is manifested. From water, earth is manifested. In this way, the five material elements, which are called Panchamahabhuta, are manifested. Right? So that's when false ego and ignorance, because that's what creates the elements, that creates the body, that creates that bodily identification. Right? Hard to get a body if there's no elements.
Yes.
Right? So then those elements are there. Now please hear how the five ton matras are created. When time agitates avidya, ignorance, jnana, knowledge of the impersonal, and karma, fruit of action, are manifested from the Mahatattva. From karma, because fruit of action means your, you know, how you say it. And from them come jnana, knowledge, and kriya, action. From the Mahatattva, false ego is manifested. From false ego, intelligence is manifested. From intelligence, the quality of sound is perceived in the sky. From sound comes touch. Thus, sound and touch are manifested from air. From them come prana, the life force, oja, energy, and bala, strength. Okay, so that when it says... Shakti, I think that means energy in that. Did you bala teja? Okay. In fire are manifested form, touch, and sound. Then by the transformation created by time, water is manifested. In water are taste, form, touch, and sound. Right? So each one is that manifests, it has the quality of the last one plus a new one.
Yes.
So that way, as you go to earth, which is the fifth, then it has five qualities. A further transformation brings earth, in which fragrance, taste, form, touch, and sound. The all-knowing Purusha Avatar helps these changes become manifest. So those are the tan matras. Means that you have the ear, you have some sound, but you have to have the ability to hear, the hearing aspect. So, does that make sense? So you have the grosser aspect of the ear and then the sound, and then you have the subtler aspect of the sense of hearing.
Yes.
So with those three, then hearing goes on.
Because
you always have that adiatmic, adidaivic, adibhotic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So yourself, your ear, that's the adiatmic, or yourself, right? The adibhotic means the other, what you're going to hear.
Yes.
But the adidaivic is that ability to hear. Does that make sense? Yeah. Jiva Dharma, chapter 15. So, summary of Adhikarna 7. No? Yeah. Vishaya. Right? So, the doubt. The Upanishad, under discussion, considers the creation of elements with the order of elements from ether to remove doubt. The discussion proves that Brahman is the cause of everything. Now a detailed description of the elements is given. Right? Because you're making the point that it continues from the beginning of the elements and goes through. Right? Because the opponents, their point is that it doesn't, they don't catch that. They just catch certain points. And the points not mentioned, they want to deal with them separately. Because by dealing separately, that will then give them, you know, whatever purpose they want to gain from that in their philosophy. Because if those are the cause, then you're not taking it that there's a supreme. Because in here, the Shankyites that we're dealing with are the atheists. So they don't believe that there's a supreme. So they want to say that material energy, and from that, everything's coming, even life, everything. Right? So from the life... From air, then you get the life airs, you don't get life force, and then like this, then you have, so that combination. It's like the modern science.
Life comes from matter.
Yes, life comes from matter. But then you have to have certain ones that are independent. They're actually the creators.
Yes.
certain ones may be dependent, that's fine. But they have to have certain ones that are not dependent. And then from that, then they can say, see, it's coming from matter.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're not agreeing like that. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's the whole point, is that you have to be very intelligent to come up with these philosophies. But the basis of them isn't very intelligent. It's just that they want to control and enjoy the material nature. That's all. And even if they want to free themselves from it, they want to free themselves from the pain.
Yes.
And they think, if I get rid of the pain, then I'll be happy. But it doesn't work, because on the material platform, it's just like we said before, go back to our bench. At that point, you're free from material anxieties. And so there is a satisfaction. But for the materialist, that's not happiness. Right? It's a neutral state. Happiness is fulfillment of a desire. So when fulfillment of desire in the way of engaging the senses doesn't work for them, then they want to fulfill a desire where they get rid of the senses.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still fulfillment of a desire. That's why they can relate to it. They're thinking that I'm thinking in a spiritual way. No, it's still material, because it's a matter of fulfilling that desire. That's what's going to make you happy. So they'll never get beyond the mundane. Right? So that's the difficulty. They're working with material senses and elements, and so all they can come up with is conclusions within the material. They can't go beyond, because you don't have anything to work with. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. In the Subhala Upanishad, it is said, what existed in the beginning, the teacher said to him, there was no sat. There was no asat. There was no sat or asat. But you may say, why mention it like that? Because that's considered three options. Right? Because within these philosophies, they come up with these things. It could be, it might not be, and it could and could not be. Right? So, yeah, so you have to mention it like this. From this arose Thomas, darkness. From Thomas arose Bhutadi, the origin of the material elements. From Bhutadi came Akash, ether. From Akash came air. From air came fire. From fire came water. From water came earth. This became the egg. Right? Means the universal egg. Because you had to have all these elements, then you get the Hiranyagarbha, the actual universe. Here it should be understood that between Thomas and Akash, there should be added Akshara, Avyakta, Mahatattva, Tanmatras, and senses. For there should be agreement with a later statement describing destruction. All elements are destroyed. Earth merges into water. Water merges into fire. Fire merges into air. Air merges into ether. Ether merges into the senses. The senses merge into the sense objects. The sense objects merge into Ahankara. Right, because all those came out of the Ahankara.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Ahankara merged into Mahatattva. Mahatattva merges into Avyakta. Avyakta merges into Akshara. Akshara merges into Tamas. Tamas merges into the Lord. There is nothing gross or subtle, or a combination of both, that is higher than this.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so it's already understood that that's there before, but just to give you the understanding, the direction, the one goes that way. But when you reverse it, then that subtlety at the end.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we see is that when you're coming down, generally there's more emphasis on the subtleties, you know, in the later parts of the, when you actually create something.
Yes.
But then when you're winding it back up, they'll give more detail on its folding back up in the subtle. Because it's obvious to the other. You've already given the detail. So now you reverse it, and then you give the detail in the other. Because if you give the detail first, they'll get distracted. What are all these things? So now if you ask, then you'll ask it in the context of it, of the destruction, of it going back into the Lord. Well, if you do it on the way down, then you just get distracted and don't know how things manifest. Does that make sense? Yes.
say that the earth element has the maximum amount of false ego?
Yes, yes. That's why identifying with the body is the grossest form of false ego. Right? If you identify with the mind, it's the gross ego subtler. Does that make sense? You know, even in general categories, let's say you have someone into fine arts. So they're not, I mean, they're bodily conscious, but they're identifying more with the subtleties than they are with the gross. Or, well, let's say someone is a gymnast. It'll be more about the body. So just their thinking process will be grosser than someone into fine arts. Right? Then you have the philosopher, then it even gets really more subtle. You know, because then it's just they're floating around the intelligence. They don't even bother with emotions. Right? They just kind of get in the way. Does that make sense? Like that. And then on the top, you have your pet rock. Right? Who, you know, yes.
So following this principle, we add false ego, and that's how creation happens. And then we take out false ego, and then it winds up,
yeah.
Into the false ego itself.
Yes. Those three, and then it goes back into ultimately in the Lord. Yeah. But, yeah. The word bhutadi means ahankara, which has three types. From sattvika ahankara rise devatas and mind. From rajasic ahankara rise the senses, right, and also the intelligence, because they control the senses. From tamasic ahankara rises the sense objects, and through them the gross elements. There are many statements to confirm this. The Gopal Tapa Upanishad says, quote, before creation there was only one Brahman. From that Brahman arose its Shakti, which was Avyakta Akshara Om. From Om arose Mahatattva. From Mahatattva arose Ahankara. From Ahankara arose the five ton matras. And from them arose the gross elements. The Akshara became covered by them. Right? So then you can't see, not that they're more powerful than Akshara, right? Because Akshara is Om. Is that Om becomes covered so you don't see. So then through knowledge you can see that the Brahman is pervading everything. Right, so Krishna is in everything, and so then you see it related to Him. Then it's in its uncovered state, right? Because the gross elements, them being there, that's fine. But that, what's the purpose of that? Where does that come from? That's the thing to look at, right? Just to look at, just to see the element itself. What does it mean? Right, so you have the pot. Okay, it's a pot. It's made out of copper. Okay, great. But what's it for? It holds water. Well, why would it hold water? You know, because, you know, there's a purpose. People want to drink. That's why it has this shape and everything like that. So therefore there's thirst so that it goes back. But if you just see the pot, then, you know, does that make sense? It's not as developed. You don't see very well. So we see is that like the child, they'll just see the pot and then they'll take it and play, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the sense? You need to pour the water all over, or it becomes a house for Barbie and Ken or something. You know, that's all going on. But then as an adult, then it starts to, you start to see more elements to it so that it becomes uncovered. But they never uncover it up to the point of Om, of the Lord. They only take it up to the point of their particular consciousness, and that's all. Yes. They don't go beyond into the transcendental consciousness. Yes. So that's the natural thing. Human beings can uncover all the way up to Akshara, up to the Lord. Mm-hmm. While those who aren't, you know, how you say human, they can't do that. Animals will never do that. You can maybe train them a little bit more in the finer stuff. But that's as far as it goes. So it's eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. You can refine that, but you can't get past that. Right? You know, you're not going to come in and, you know, in your lounge chairs, the dog there sitting reading Bhagavad Gita, you know, and then when you walk in, it says, hey, did you know that Krishna said, you know, right? Yeah.
The Maharaj, if it's like the human life is meant for inquiry about all these things.
Yes.
And but there is a need of knowledge, training, explanation, all these things.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's by ourselves, it's impossible.
No, because with that, just on our own, we're just going to go with the automatic, the animal propensities.
Yes.
So then, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, we're taking that as important. Those must be maintained.
Yes.
To do that, you have to have facility. To have facility, you have to have money. To have money, you have to have a job. To have a job, then you have to have knowledge and skills. Therefore, education means getting knowledge and skills.
Yes.
But that's only for animal life.
Yes.
So if it's not for uncovering, you know, how the Supreme Lord is in everything and how everything is in the Supreme Lord, then it's not human education. Because, yes, you're maintaining yourself, but you're maintaining yourself like the animals.
Maintaining the body.
Yeah. So you have to, the body is being maintained so you can deal on this higher level of consciousness. That's the point.
Yes.
That's what you want to deal with. Because these lower levels, the animals are doing that. And much of the time, humans are so proud, but the animals are doing better.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
They don't work.
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah. It's just like, you know, you have a, you know, two humpback whales and they're miles and miles apart without a, without a, a technical, you know, technology, without a phone, they're communicating.
Yes.
Yes. So, yeah. Samshaya. So the doubt. Do elements arise from the previous element or directly from the Supreme Lord? Purvapaksha. They arise from the previous element, as is evidenced from the direct meaning of the words, right? Because they're just showing this comes from this. But the point is, you have to know, is this a cause? Otherwise, why is it manifest? Why is it changing? You can say, okay, the you know, water came from fire. But the point is, why did that happen? You know, fire is quite comfortable the way it is.
Yes.
Why would it transform into water?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So that's the word. Siddhanta, the Sutrakar, gives the conclusion as follows.
Mm-hmm. It seems very much similar to Darwin theory. Everything happens is by...
Mm, okay. Just a little more intellectual, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, the... what do you call it? What do they call it?
Primordial soup.
Yeah, primordial soup, but I'm saying the process of the creation...
Evolution,
yes. So they're just taking it as an evolution, but a subtler form. Yeah, that's interesting, yeah. So that means Darwinism isn't new. Chantier's had it figured out a long time ago. They just didn't bother with the, you know, the aardvark then turned into a, you know, a unicorn or something. They just stuck to the more obvious thing. Yeah. Like that. You didn't know that's where they came from? No? Okay. Whatever you wondered, but that's this way.
Maybe Darwin is one of the Sankhya Acharyas reborn.
Sorry?
Darwin is one of the Sankhya Acharyas reborn.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
Okay. Sutra 2312. Tad abhidhyanad eva tu ta linga saha. Tad, that. Abhidyanta, because of meditation. Eva, indeed, too, indeed. Tat, that. Lingat, because of the body. Saha, he. The elements arise from the Lord because he alone has the quality of desiring to create. Right? Because we're saying, without consciousness, you're not going to get. So where's the consciousness in the element to transform? Because it's not us transforming. Right? So that means that there has to be someone else. So it's not the living entities. It has to be the Lord. Because that matter is unconscious. And we're not conscious to be able to cause that. Otherwise, you have a fire, you know, let's say, starts in your house. Then you just, by your consciousness, turn the fire into water. And then problem solved. You know, of course, it's going to leave a mark. You know, the water stain and all that. But...
After we put the air.
No, okay, yeah. It could just be, yeah. Sutra Prakashita. The Sutrakar glorifies the unrivaled Lord's opulence, namely power, and his desire to create by entering the elements and initiating a transformation. Early it was verified in Vedanta Sutra 1.4.14. Karanatvena chaka shadishu yata vyapadish toktehe. That Brahman is the cause of sky and the other elements, according to the Upanishads. Right? So it's just building this, because the previous points have been made, and so then building on this. Just that we don't have the memory to remember all these things, so we have to be reminded. But otherwise, before they would remember these things, then they could discuss. Yeah. It's like Lord Chaitanya, when the Divijay Pandit came and he just chanted 100 verses as quickly as the wind, just on the spot, made the verses. Then as he goes through, Lord Chaitanya just listened, and when he finished, it's kind of like, so, were you impressed, like that? And then he said, yeah, but in verse 51, which is right in the middle, because you might notice the first beginning, you might notice the end. Right in the middle, he says, here you, referred to the I say the Ganga like this, but actually that technically should be this way.
Yeah.
And so then the guy knew that, he wasn't the superior pundit in this situation.
Yeah.
Right? So there are those who remember all that. So, yeah, unfortunately, we're not in that category. Shugavindabhasya. Siddhanta, the word too refutes the doubt. The Supreme Lord, possessor of Shaktis like Tamas, is the direct cause of all effects, starting with Pradhan and ending with earth. Right? So that's the whole range.
Mm-hmm.
Why? So kamyata bahu sham prajayata. He desired, let there be many, may I produce offspring. The Lord alone can have the quality, lingat, a desire, abhidyanat, to produce the elements, since he possesses all powers. Brahman enters successively into the elements, starting with tamas, and transfers them to pradhan, then transform them to pradhan, etc. This is understood from shrutis like yasya prithvi shariram, his body is the earth, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 2.7.3. So it's just showing how he's in everything in ways that we value. Right, ways we don't value, then those aren't mentioned. It still doesn't mean he's not all those things. It's just for us, we won't notice it. So that's how we can. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 2, 26, 34, 3 through 4. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Soul, and he has no beginning. He is transcendental to the material modes of nature and beyond the existence of this material world. He is perceivable everywhere because he is self-effulgent. And by his self-effulgence, self-effulgent luster, the entire creation is manifested. As his pastime, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, the greatest of the great, accepted the subtle material energy, which is invested with three material modes of nature, and which is created with Vishnu. Right. Yeah. So, he is perceivable everywhere because he is self-effulgent. And so the self-effulgent lusher, the entire creation is maintained. Right. So through Brahman, then the place is created is maintained. Right. Footnote 13. Srila Prabhupada comments. In this verse, the word gunamayim is very significant. Daivim means the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. End quote. And gunamayim means, quote, invested with the three modes of material nature. End quote. When the material energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, this gunamayim energy acts as a manifestation of the energies of the three modes. It acts as a covering. And so that's why I say you can't see. Because what's being covered? The Lord and the living entity. Not that the Lord is covered, but means he's covered from our vision. Like a cloud. A cloud covers the sun for our vision, not for the sun. So these modes of nature, they cover our vision. So all we see is the cloud or the material energy. We don't see the soul, we don't see God.
So earlier it was mentioned that the
Akshara
is in God.
Yes, the same, Akshara. It's just how you want to bring out. Mm-hmm. Right, because mm-hmm. Akshara is the essence, because that from that all the verses manifest, so that aspect becomes covered. Right? Even people know all the verses, but they don't understand it's coming from Krishna.
Yeah.
Right, because they're using the verse to prove Krishna is not the, you know, either existing or the creator or any of these. But the point is the verse only works because of Om. That they'll all agree. Om is Krishna. So then, how is this verse, depending on Krishna, going to prove that he doesn't exist? Right. So they're not. So that's the point. Akshara becomes covered.
Let alone all the names are actually names of Krishna.
Yes. Yeah, all the names are names of Krishna. And then from there they can be applied to the external forms. Right? Because the thing works because of Krishna's potency. So if you have chair, let's say, that it can hold you up off the ground, that's because of Krishna's potency. Right? That's what makes the chair a chair. Because if it didn't hold you off on the ground, you go and sit on it and you find you're on the floor, then you wouldn't call it a chair. Right? You'd call it an annoying thing or something, you know, or a useless thing. You know, you'd have some other name for it. Right? You wouldn't call it chair. Right?
You can say it was a chair.
It was a chair. Yes. Was a chair. The energy emanated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests in two ways, as an emanation from the Supreme Lord and as a covering of the Lord's face. In Bhagavad Gita, it's said that because the whole world is illusioned by the three modes of material nature, the common conditioned soul, being covered by such energy, cannot see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The example of a cloud is very nicely given. All of a sudden, there may appear a big cloud in the sky. This cloud is perceived in two ways. To the sun, the cloud is a creation of its energy. But to the ordinary common man in the conditioned state, it is a covering to the eyes. Because of the cloud, the sun cannot be seen. It is not that the sun is actually covered by the cloud. Only the vision of the ordinary being is covered. Similarly, although Maya cannot cover the Supreme Lord, who is beyond Maya, the material energy covers the ordinary living entities. Those conditioned souls who are covered are individual living entities. And he from whose energy Maya is created, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it covers the eyes of the common souls, or the conditioned souls. But the point is, here is being brought out, is that Krishna is not covered by the illusory energy, but at the same time, as what's also brought out, is that it's individual souls who are covered. Right? They exist individually, not that they're just a homogenous mush. Right? Like that? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Unless you go to a rave, that's kind of a homogenous mush. But. In another place in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, 7th chapter, it is stated that Vyasadeva, by his spiritual vision, saw the Supreme Lord and the material energy standing behind him. This indicates that material energy cannot cover the Lord, just as darkness cannot cover the sun. Darkness can cover a jurisdiction which is very insignificant in comparison to that of the sun. Darkness can cover a small cave, but not the open sky. Similarly, the covering capacity of the material energy is limited and cannot act on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is therefore called Vibhu. As the appearance of a cloud is accepted by the sun, so the appearance of the material energy at a certain interval is accepted by the Lord. Although his material energy is utilized to create the material world, this does not mean he is covered by that energy. Those who are covered by the material energy are called conditioned souls. The Lord accepts the material energy for his material pastimes in creation, maintenance, and dissolution. But the conditioned soul is covered, right? Because the Lord stays in his position. He creates as he, due to his will. He maintains by his will, and he destroys by his will. But the living entity, he's covered by it, and so therefore he tries to fulfill his will within this, but it doesn't necessarily go so great. But the conditioned soul is covered. he cannot understand that beyond this material energy, there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes. Just as a less intelligent person cannot understand that beyond the covering of the clouds, there is bright sunshine. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26-4. Sutta 2:3:13. Vipar yayena tu kramo ta upadyate cha. Vipar yayena, by the reverse, tu, indeed, krama, sequence, ata, from this. Upapadyate is manifested, cha, and. Different order of elements described in the Shrutis arise because the Lord is within everything. Right? Because He's within. So therefore, if there's a point where it's not mentioning, that's because the Lord's within. So if the continuity is there. Right? Sutta Prakashika. The Sutrakar proves that the Lord is the fundamental ingredient in the different forms of matter, playing the role of catalyst to bring about a change in the lifeless matter. Hence, the effect takes place because the Lord is present as the cause within the previous source. This was previously substantiated in Vedanta Sutra 1:4:26, Atma Krite Parinamat, that Brahman is both the creator and the ingredient of creation, because he transformed himself into the world. Sri Govinda Bhasya. Siddhanta. That means that he transformed through his energies. The word tu, indeed, is used here for emphasis. In the Mundaka Upanishad 2:1-3, it is said, from him are born prana, life air, mind, all the senses, ether, air, fire, water, and earth, the support of the world. In the Subala Upanishad, the sequence is reversed, with Pradhana and Mahatattva coming first. Everything actually comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is present within everything, beginning with prana and ending with earth. And when one feature of creation comes from another, the second feature actually comes from the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead, present within the first feature. Right? So it's coming from Him. So as ether, Krishna within ether, therefore you get air. And because it's the transformation of His energies, it's non-different. So therefore Him in air, then that's what then is the cause of the fire. Right? If this were not so, then these two different versions would contradict the fact that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the material cause of all things, the creator of all, and the statement that by knowing Him, everything becomes known. The Pradhan and other features of matter, being inert and unconscious, cannot by themselves create changes in the material world. This is why the word cha also is used here. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, in every case, the real cause of these transformations in the material world.
Because the Lord is the invisible element, you don't accept.
Because He's the invisible. Yeah, well, He's covered, so that's why they don't accept. Because they don't have a problem with invisible if it's something within the metaphysics that they accept. But the point is, because like the common person, the cloud comes, you can't see the sun. Mm-hmm. So that's the Bhagavatam verse reference. 10:48-18-19. You both are the original Supreme Person, the cause of the universe and its very substance. Not even the slightest subtle cause or manifest product of creation exists apart from you. O Supreme Absolute Truth, with your personal energies, you create this universe and then enter into it. Thus one can perceive you in many forms by hearing from authorities and by direct experience. Footnote 14. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the Lord is the cause as well as the effect. You both are the original Supreme Person, the cause of the universe and its very substance. Not the slightest subtle cause or manifest product of creation exists apart from you. What to speak of protecting His kingdom? The whole universe belongs to you. Though there is one Supreme Lord, because He has manifested as two, this verse is in the dual. You are the main Purushas with the internal and external energies. You are the material and efficient causes of the universe. You are situated as one with the universe by your two expansions, Prakriti and Jiva. Quote, originally during the Satya Yuga, when all men were expert in spiritual discrimination, and also during the period of annihilation, the Lord was complete, one alone, without difference. That one entity, remaining free from material dualities, divided himself into two categories, Prakriti and Jiva, which are beyond words and mind and which are real. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:24-3. Apart from you, nothing exists either as cause or effect. The universe is saved and made prosperous by you. So for creation, then Krishna expands as all these aspects. Right, he expands as the jivas, he expands as material energy, then he enters into that and then makes it, animates it so it all works, the whole creation takes place, the living entities are able to perform their various activities, you know, all the devatas, all the different situations, so it's all happening because the Lord is there. So it is his, it's a transformation of him, and at the same time he himself enters it. So you get both aspects. Sutta 2.3.14 Antara vijnana manasi kramena tavlingat iti chen navisheshat. Antara, in the middle, vijnana, knowledge, manasi, and mind, kramena, with the sequence, tat, of that, lingat, because of the sign, iti, thus, chet, if, not, avisheshat, because of not being different. If one argues that everything does not come directly from the Lord, because the specific succession of elements with sense organs and mind between the elements and prana is given, the answer is no, because all elements without distinction arise from the Lord. Right? Because you're seeing a specific order, and so you're leaving the Lord out of that because it didn't mention him at every time. But then in other places it does mention him. Otherwise, then you have to mention him at every time. Right, yeah. Sutta Prakashika. In view of the order of elements specified in the Shrutis, the opponents stick to their misreading that everything comes in a specific succession, thus denying the presence of the Lord. Then, the Sutrakar, citing scriptures, lays emphasis that all the elements are non-different since they arise from the Lord. And hence, there is no disagreement between the Shastras. Either it was corroborated in Vedanta Sutra 1.4.23, Prakritis cha pratigya drishtanta anu parodat, that Brahman is also the material nature, Prakriti. Hence, he is concurrently the cause and the effect. Right. Okay, so we'll end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Vrinda.